Can they read that?
Vaya prasaktanam Taya purita chetasam Vyavasayatmika buddhi Samadana vidyate Bogais vaya prasaktanam Vyaparita chetasam Vyavasayatmika buddhi Samadhana vidyate
Bhoga. Two material enjoyment. Aishwarya and opulence. Prasaktanam. For those who are attached. Taya. By such things. Apahrita chetasam. Bewildered in mind. Vyavasayatmika. Fixed in determination. Buddhihi. Devotional service to. Devotional service to the Lord. Samadhau. In the controlled mind. Never. Vidyate. Does take place. Translation. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti, says, Samyag adhyate smin atma tatma yathatmayam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyment, nor for those who are bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of the material energy. So we're studying the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is a summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. In the first section we learned that a man must first understand that by his own endeavors he cannot understand the absolute truth. When he is free from that illusion, then he is ready to approach someone in knowledge. In other words, as long as he thinks that he already knows it all or can know it all by his own power, he won't be interested in getting help.
Másról, aki azt hiszi, hogy tud mindent, vagy mindent megtud a saját
without the help of a self-realized soul, someone who knows the truth, it is not possible to understand the truth. Then in the next section, after Arjuna has accepted Krishna as his spiritual master, Krishna begins to explain to Arjuna the eternal nature of the soul. He does this so that Arjuna will realize that even if he kills his enemies on the battlefield, the actual person, the soul within the body of Bhishma and Drona and Kripa, they will not be killed. Then in the last section, Krishna resorted to Krishna took the strategy of giving material reasons why Arjuna should not be in anxiety doing his duty. He explains to Arjuna that it is a Kshatriya's duty to fight. And one is successful in the world by doing his duty. Sometimes the Bhagavad Gita is called the art of doing work. In other words, how should we work in this world to get the ultimate satisfaction and happiness out of life? The ultimate satisfaction. Krishna explains to Arjuna that the men he will be fighting against are all great soldiers, and they respect another great soldier. Arjuna is supposed to be a great hero. So if he declines to fight out of false compassion, the people he was supposed to fight against, Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, etc., they will despise him as a coward. Arjuna will lose his reputation. And he says that such infamy is worse than death. And then he explains that soldiers, because of their nature, their intrinsic nature, they are happy to fight in battle. Either they will win and enjoy the results of the battle, or they will lose and be elevated to the celestial kingdom.
vagy győznek, és akkor a gyümölcsét élvezik ennek a győzelemnek, vagy pedig vesztenek, és a mennyeknek fognak élvezni.
Of course, Kshatriyas are supposed to fight only for a righteous cause, for a religious cause. But when one dies in the battlefield under a violent condition, he is purged of his material attachments and his past sins, purged, burned up, purified. For example, if a man murders another man, the Vedas say that the king should punish that person with corporal punishment, with death. Nowadays, there is false compassion that just because someone has been vicious and killed someone else, why should we come down to that level and kill that person? Even in America, the spirit of the law is, let 1,000 guilty men go free, but let not one innocent man be punished.
Amerikában az a törvénynek a szelleme, hogy inkább engedjenek szabadon 1,000 bűnös emberként, hogy egy ember, aki ártatlan volt, az megbüntessék.
So that's what happens. 1,000 guilty men are released back into society to kill some more. So in this way, Krishna uses relatively material arguments to convince Arjuna. So he's using different types of arguments to fully convince Arjuna to do his duty. So at the end of the last section, after giving material reasons, Krishna ends it with a spiritual reason. He says, sukha dukhe same kritva labha labhav jaya jaya tato yudhaya yujasa naivam papam avapsyasi. A man who acts free from any desire for happiness or distress, who's equal in both, for victory or defeat. He just acts out of duty, not considering victory or defeat, or gain or loss. Such a man will not incur sin. Now, practically in the rest of the Bhagavad Gita, verses 39 through 72, Krishna talks mostly about buddhi yoga. And in various places later on in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna equates buddhi yoga with bhakti yoga. Buddhi, of course, means intelligence, and yoga means to link with God.
A
So this next section is entitled Nishkam Karma, or fight but without any reaction. It's been a rough evening. Anyway, we'll get it right. So in this section, because Arjuna can't get it out of his mind that fighting is sinful. And he thinks that the solution to this sinful activity is to stop activity altogether. For that reason, Krishna introduces a totally different kind of action. In other words, Arjuna can only think of karma and vikarma, or pious action and impious action. But the problem is that, and this is a main point to consider, Arjuna is simply thinking about his own happiness. What will make me happy? Fighting or going to the forest? He's not thinking what will make Krishna happy. He's forgetting that there is a spiritual reason for acting. So, Buddhi Yoga involves the idea that any action is neither good nor bad, but it is the consciousness in which an activity is done that determines whether it is good or bad. For example, someone may go to war and may kill 1,000 of the enemy. And he may come back to the country and be honored as a great hero. He may get so many medals. He may become the next candidate for prime minister. Whatever. But if, in a spirit of celebration, he gets a little drunk or something and goes out and kills one person, then he's put in jail. On the one hand, he killed 1,000 people and he's given great honor, and he killed one person and he's put in jail and maybe executed.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that in the first instance, he was in the consciousness that I'm doing this under the order of the supreme executive of the country. I'm doing this for my country. He's not acting independently. And in the second instance, the second example, he's just killing for his own sense gratification. So it's the consciousness which is important. So Krishna starts out by saying that I'm going to explain to you how to work without fruit of results. Verse 39. You don't need to read it, you just have to repeat what I said. Okay. So Krishna tries to tell Arjuna to pay attention to what he says. That's Buddha Yoga. We have to work without a desire for obtaining the fruits or enjoying the fruits. And when you act with that intelligence, you can free yourself from the bondage of the material world. Because we are attached to the material body, and because we work with fruitive mentality, we have to live in this material world continuously. And whether you get a nice situation in the material world or not, you still have to go through birth, death, old age, and disease. A man in a prison who has a third class cell, in other words, he's in a prison cell with three other prisoners and they have a very small window with very little light in their room. So he may work very hard and act very nicely, and one day he gets a first class cell where he's alone in the cell. He has big windows with lots of sunlight, television. But what is the use in that? He's so proud of his first class cell, but he's still in jail. So whether Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punaravartino Arjuna, whether you go from the topmost planet in the universe down to the lowest, whether you go from America to Bangladesh or Ethiopia, it really doesn't. You're still going to have to get old, diseased, and die, and be reborn.
Vagy Ethiópiába, de igazából nem számít ki.
So then Krishna goes on to encourage Arjuna that the nature of spiritual activity is such that even if you do a little bit, you don't lose, you get the highest benefit. Neha vikramanashosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. He says, su alpam. Even if you do a very little bit of spiritual activity, you can protect yourself from the most dangerous type of fear. So who knows what the most dangerous fear is? Who knows? None of the ladies know. What do you think it is? Getting a bad husband. Having a... Anyway. What is it?
Fear of death.
Yes, well, not exactly the fear of death. I had a friend who was driving in a car and somehow or other there was an accident, and on the way to the hospital, I forget the details, but he had an out-of-body experience. So he was really proud of himself, and he came to me and said, I'm not afraid of death. He was really proud. He thought that was spiritual. And I said, death is not the problem. Rebirth is the problem. You should be afraid of that. So, the most dangerous type of fear is that one will have to take birth again in this material world. And Arjuna, Krishna is telling Arjuna that materially, if you try to do something and you don't succeed, the whole activity is finished. But spiritually, if you simply do 1% or 5%, there's no loss, because in your next life you can engage in the same spiritual work starting at 6%. Prabhupada expresses this in the purport, quoting the verse, Tyaktva sva dharmam charanam bhujamarer bhajana pakvo tapatet tato yadi yatra kvava badrama buddhamusha kim kovarta apto bhajatam sva dharmata. If a person executes his material activities perfectly, there's no real benefit because everything's finished to death. But even if he's not successful spiritually, there's no loss. So, there are two levels of Buddhi Yoga. One is to act in the understanding that I'm not the body. and acting in this way frees one from fruitive results. And the second or highest way is to act in the consciousness that I'm the servant of Krishna. And when you act in that consciousness, and you get a transcendental desire to please God. In order to act on the level of Buddha Yoga, one has to be able to focus his mind. This is called Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. So in the next verse, Krishna says, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bhushakahi Anantascha Buddhayo Vyavasayana. That those who are on the path of Buddha Yoga, or on the spiritual path, they have this fixed determination to succeed. In order to develop this fixed determination, they regulate their lives. They eat the right foods. They practice brahmacharya. They perform austerities like attending Mangalarti and taking early morning bath. And their aim becomes very focused. Their aim is Krishna. But those who are not in Buddha Yoga, not in Krishna consciousness, there are many branches, many paths that their mind can travel. It is stated, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura, that the devotees of the Lord develop all good qualities. Gradually, they develop all the good qualities of the demigods. It is expected that someone who is following the process of bhakti yoga should improve his character. If he's not, then perhaps there's something wrong with his performance of bhakti yoga. Srila Prabhupada said that his followers would be known by their being recognized as perfect gentlemen and gentle ladies. But harava bhakta shikuto mohadguna, those who are harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna, what good qualities can they have? Because manoratenasati davato bahi, they remain wandering on the chariot of the mind. They simply are interested in sense gratification. And they will do anything or take any path which leads them to sense gratification. So, Prabhupada mentions that this vyavasayatmika buddhi is characterized by the consciousness that if I just devote my life to the service of God, everything will be properly done.
Tudatnak az a jelentője, hogy ha valaki a Isten szolgálatának szenteti az életét, akkor minden jól fog történni.
Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shraddha shabde vishwas kahe sudrida nischoy Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. That so the devotee has that faith. Then Krishna mentions that one should be careful of being too attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. Yami mam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avi paschitaha vedavada ratha padyat nanyadastiti vadina. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. And finally, in verse 44, again he comes back to this vyavasayatmika buddhi. Someone who is bewildered by material opulence and material enjoyment. His intelligence is carried away. So therefore, devotees voluntarily keep themselves in a poverty-stricken condition. They try to live simply. Too much material opulence is dangerous. I have personally seen it. In one temple where I served for many years, we have fabulous opulence. And new devotees get bewildered by the opulence and forget the purpose of coming to the temple to become Krishna conscious. Practically speaking, in our present day and age, money is God. People are mad after the almighty foreign. The almighty dollar. And when they get money, they simply think of increasing their sense gratification. Again, money is neither good nor bad. If you're not trained to use it in Krishna's service, then you will be engaged in the service of the material energy. Devotees should also remember that. We are selling books, we are collecting funds, we are getting donations. If we use any of that money for our sense gratification, we will get involved in karma. It would be better to just go out and become a full-on karmi. In other words, go out and be successful materially, and when you're a little bit exhausted, when you realize there's no happiness there, then come to the ashram. That's not to say that even if one has material desires that he can engage in bhakti yoga, but it simply means that we have to be very careful. Material wealth is the root of all evil, according to the Bible. So I'll stop there. We'll continue in the same section tomorrow. Are there any questions? Yeah.
Volt szó az elmének a koncentrálására. És az lenne a kérdésem, hogy Srila Prabhupád írja a Bhagavatamban, hogy valakinek az elmét úgy kell fegyelmeznie, hogy reggel, amikor fel kell megverik a cipővel, és amikor mielőtt lefekszik este, útból megverik. Hogy ez praktikusan hogyan kell csinálni. Srila
Prabhupád writes in the Bhagavatam that one should punish the mind by beating it with shoes in the morning and in the evening, and how should we do it practically?
Well, if you just come down to my apartment, I can do it for you. Actually, he was quoting an example of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who said, in the morning I take a pair of chappals or shoes and I beat my mind. In the evening I take a stick and beat my mind. But this is simply a metaphor, not K4 or L4, a metaphor. The idea is that you have to refuse the demands, the material demands of the mind. And the way you can train your mind and even perhaps punish your wayward mind, your wandering mind, is by strictly following sadhana. Take a cold shower in the morning, even in the winter. That'll snap your mind to attention. Or fast on Ekadasi, or some special day. Little austerities can help. course, our main austerity is chanting Hare Krishna. Improve your chanting, the quality of your chanting. Bhakti Siddhanta is saying that we have to not become lazy in allowing our mind to wander here and there. And there is that tendency. Just like in this section, Krishna says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhav Arjuna Nirdvandva Nitya Sattvasto Nir Yoga Kshema Atmavan. Arjuna, the Vedas deal with karma kanda, so better you reject the Vedas. Be established in self-realization. Nirdvandva nitya sattvasto. Be situated in the mode of goodness. So, in the same way, the wandering mind has to be dealt with. And if you don't deal with your mind, then it will degrade you. So whatever means you adopt, the point is be very serious about it. Everybody has his own ways of getting control of his mind. There are different tips and tricks. But we all have different circumstances. Any other questions?
You said that devotees in due course of time will be perfect gentlemen.
Devotees in due course of time
become gentlemen.
Oh, become gentlemen, yes. Yes, Prabhupada gave a nice example in this regard. You yourselves know. Does it snow here in the winter? Yeah, snows. And do you find yourself living indoors much more, not coming out so much? Yeah. So, I just got an email today from one devotee who stays in a community. During the winter, it goes down to minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit. That's much colder than Celsius. In other words, in Fahrenheit, 32 degrees is freezing. So this is 70 degrees below freezing. So this devotee was saying that all the devotees in the community take it as a good opportunity to stay indoors with Srila Prabhupada's books. But after two or three months of living in the house most of the time, you find that the house gets dusty and dirty. Of course, you may not notice it because you're living there all the time. But in the spring, when the snow melts and the sun comes out, and you open your windows and you open your doors and you start spring cleaning, and you go start sweeping your house, so much dust and dirt flies up, you get behind all the furniture and air, and you never realize, oh, it's so dirty. But you go on cleaning and gradually the dirt disappears. The first time I heard this answer was when the leader of the Los Angeles community wasn't the leader, he was one of the devotees in the community. He later became the leader. But he was a very intelligent man, but he became very, very passionate. And sometimes he became so passionate, he couldn't stand it, and he would hide himself under the house. We had a house which was acting as the temple. So the house was slightly raised off the ground. So he used to crawl underneath the house and hide there because he couldn't control his passion. So then he said to Prabhupada, before I joined ISKCON, I used to go up into the mountains, I used to meditate, I was so peaceful. And then Prabhupada gave this answer. The fact that so much dust and dirt is flying up proves that you're being cleansed. This devotee didn't tell Prabhupada that after two or three months in the mountains meditating, then he would come down in the city again and smoke dope and live with girls and do all kinds of nonsense. Then again he would go up in the mountains for two or three months meditation. So one thing is for sure, that the devotees are attempting to become better gentlemen and gentle ladies. And I do include the word gentle ladies, because there are lots of things that ladies can do that can agitate the minds of the men, or that can make the whole atmosphere very peaceful. In fact, you'll find in some Asian Buddhist communities, in Southeast Asia, in Vietnam and other countries like that, Cambodia, the women actually bind their feet and bind their breasts with ropes. And they bind their feet so that they won't walk in an attractive way. So we're not suggesting that. But we are suggesting that there are subtle games that we have all learned in the material world. But in devotional service, in our devotional communities, we should get off the bodily platform. I think I've told you before, I'll probably tell you again, and I'll tell you tonight also. Prabhupada was asked in a satsang by a woman that, Swamiji, I have heard that it is more difficult for a woman to become Krishna conscious. And the last place that I told this story, I was looking around and I saw some of the women talking, and they were suggesting that Prabhupada would have said the right thing. He would have said no. So when asked this question, Prabhupada paused for a few moments. I've heard that it's more difficult for a woman to be Krishna conscious. And then Prabhupada said, yes. If you think you are a woman, then it will be more difficult for you. So we have to get off the bodily platform. We have to all become ladies and gentlemen. We see the Kauravas, how devoted to Dharma, to spiritual truth they were. In the gambling arena created by the Kauravas, by Duryodhana and Shakuni, the Pandavas were losing everything. It was totally unfair. But Yudhisthira, because he was asked by his elder, his superior, Dhritarashtra, he submitted himself. And he gambled away even his brothers and even Mother Draupadi. And the other four Pandava brothers were completely furious with Duryodhana and his associates. But they were so devoted to serving their elder brother that they were extremely patient. So even in spite of the most heavy injustice done against them, they took shelter of religious codes of activity. And it was for this reason that Krishna wanted them to rule the world. So we all have to improve our character, but we should concentrate on our own character, hope that others improve, but that is not the criteria for our own improvement. If somebody is not becoming a proper gentleman, it means they're probably not following the process of bhakti yoga properly. And they will be dealt with by Krishna. You need not have any doubt about that. Even the biggest person, if he deals improperly, then Krishna will slap him down. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.